You're listening to Podium Podcast with former England rugby player Tom May and leading performance coach Simon Hartley. From locker room gossip to fascinating high-performance insights, this is the show that invites some of the biggest names in the world of sport to discuss life on and off the field of play. Podium Podcast is brought to you by True Potential. To find out more, visit www.tpllp.com.
Hello, everyone. You have me back for our season roundup. I get wheeled out for the start and end of our seasons whilst the real talent takes a rest. Although we have our other talent of Simon here today. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, we bring you out from the back room, yeah, as it were.
The problem is with doing that, I'm now, because ordinarily I will be making sure that our levels are okay. And I'm now naturally still looking across to our levels on our recording software. But recognizing and realizing that I actually have to talk and look at the camera. So we'll make it work. We'll make it work.
Yeah.
This is our season three roundup.
There we go.
I made the error, I think, in our last roundup of asking, are there any highlights across the season? That's not the way to deal with it, because it would mean picking out favorites amongst our guests. And I mean, there's been some cracking guests this year. I said before we came on the record here, I'm just looking through the names and faces. It's a really nice balanced mix of people and backgrounds and sports, which I think was really added to the strength of this season.
Yeah, definitely. When we get diverse people who have got a really great sort of personal individual experience, but we get those across people who are very different from each other and operated in very, very different environments, it does make for some fascinating insights and conversations. And actually, from my point of view, I've always been interested to look at the commonalities across diverse people. And that's where I think you see the really core principles, those foundational core principles, when you're looking at common themes across diverse people.
And I guess you're going to find that, aren't you? I mean, these are all, whilst we had that full range, we had a nice suite of rugby players again, footballers, but then, winter specialists, skiers in alpine races in Chamois-Alcott. So there was but I think to see those themes existing across very diverse sports, but ultimately still sports people with a sports mentality, that desire to compete and win, I think ultimately at all costs, isn't it? But how they go about doing that, to see some trends that exist through them, through all these people. We touched on creativity being one of the key themes that we feel exists in all of these guys, all of our guests this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it kicked off with Mark Foster talking about how LIV Golf are incredibly disruptive in their industry. Yeah. They've taken the world of professional elite competitive golf, shaken it up. And I know obviously within the last few weeks of recording this, there have been some interesting changes in the world of elite competitive golf and the structure of it. But yeah, they've taken something that was probably pretty entrenched and ingrained in one way of doing things for decades, and turned it on its head.
And that, for me, I mean, we won't sit on this discussion for too long, because I think it's a hot topic, isn't it? Will be for a while. I think for me that is the saddest thing about the merger, actually, because it was always about. There's obviously an issue around where the money came from or comes from for LIV Golf. I understand Rory McIlroy's viewpoint and many others, but I also liked it from the point of view that it was creating competition in a sport that really desperately needed it. As you say, they were highly disruptive in what they were doing and how they were approaching, and still will be. Is it just going from one monopoly to another? Potentially. I don't know. I guess there was stuff going on in the background that we will never really know the truth of. Was this planned from day one? Potentially. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I think for listeners, it'd be, go back and listen to those. There's two parts to that podcast with Mark Foster. Mark was, as many will know, a very successful rugby player in his own right before joining the senior management team at LIV. So there's some really interesting comments in that two-part with Mark Foster. So, yeah, go back and get some background and history to it. It's worth having a listen to.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that we find in that conversation with Mark, but also the conversation with David Campese, is that the foundations for that creativity become evident as well through those conversations.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Mark shared how his journey into becoming the finance director, senior VP of finance at LIV Golf was really quite varied, and varied within the world of finance. He did tax work, he did accountancy, he did mergers and acquisitions, he did corporate finance. And we often in sport look at creating a foundation for physical performance, which comes when you play a whole variety of different sports that require loads of different movements, loads of different sort of hand-eye, foot-eye coordination, all that sort of stuff, balance, rhythm, and that you get that by having a breadth of experience.
Mm-hmm.
He had that, but in the world of finance and accounting. David Campese was talking about developing a similar base of physical abilities and skills within rugby that allowed him to become really quite a creative rugby player.
Yeah,
you know, he's one that, particularly I suppose for our generation, we look back on those players that were different in rugby, and David Campese amongst others stands out as somebody who did things differently. He was explaining how you need some base skills, but you also have to have the freedom and ability to experiment with it. And take it outside of the rule book sometimes. I know one of his great critiques of modern day rugby is it's too formulaic. You know, players are forced into doing things one way. It's probably over sanitized now by KPIs and metrics and data and this, that, and the other, and the playbook that you have to stick to. And I think there was an awful lot in what he said about actually just getting back to really good basic skills, but giving players, people in business, the ability to just go and solve problems. Put the problem in front of them and allow them to solve the problem. Essentially, again, what LIV Golf have done with golf.
Yeah.
Here's a problem. Let's go solve it and see what creative answers we can come up with. And there's an awful lot in those conversations that I think is really pertinent to people, whatever walk of life we're in, whatever business or industry market we happen to be in. There's a lot that's pertinent to driving creativity and being able to think differently, embrace diversity, you know, all of that sort of stuff in order to get difference in thinking.
How can we not argue that it creates a more fun and engaging and rewarding environment? For me, the less robotic an environment, the better. And that's, I think, what Gord's, you know, was the overarching point from David, and you've just alluded to, was that the rugby has become that way, become very formulaic. And I think it's when money enters these things, then it becomes a business that they've got to win at all costs. And if there is a way to win, if there's a proven strategy, i.e. by kicking it all the time to get those wins, then so be it. They will go that way.
We hope you don't mind us interrupting the show with a very short message about our partners at the Podium Podcast, True Potential. True Potential provide wealth management that's simple, effective, and unique. Their expert advice, innovative investments, leading technology, and dedicated support are all designed to help you do more with your money. Visit www.tpllp.com now to find out more. Capital at risk. True Potential Wealth Management and True Potential Investments are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get you back to this week's show. Yeah, Jamie Jones Buchanan gave a really sort of interesting view, obviously from rugby league rather than rugby union. He was explaining that within their Leeds Rhinos team that was incredibly successful, they had enough structure, they had really good people, they had a great culture, great human beings at the heart of it. They knew each other, they knew their roles, all that sort of stuff. And that's what allowed them to what he calls free form around it and riff off of each other.
Yeah.
And just solve the problem that was in front of them without too much of a playbook.
Yeah, but I mean, there are anomalies along the way, isn't there, where you just get a team that just gels so beautifully together, and they were one of those teams. where it just did work. Having said that, he also made the point that it didn't just happen overnight. They'd been through the academy together. It's like it goes back to the kind of the Ferguson theory, doesn't it, of having the building them up through the academy, the Beckhams, the Nevilles, and so on. It wasn't dissimilar, I think, for them in Leeds Academy, that they'd kind of come up through the ranks together, knew how each other played. And this goes back to when they didn't need a playbook because they just knew how each other played. They knew that if we're going to pop a pass there, a Sinfield or someone else was going to be on the, probably not a Kevin Sinfield, but someone, a Rob Burrows would be on their shoulder. Rob Burrows.
Maybe
would be on
a
the
Rob
shoulder.
Burrow, yeah.
Rob Burrow would be on the shoulder and pick up the pass.
Yeah. Interestingly, that conversation with Jamie Jones Buchanan also highlighted the importance of having a really strong leader in the dressing room.
Of course, something that
Kate Richardson Walsh also talked about, how the leadership within the dressing room, as it were, in sport. And if you look at business, it's not different. I mean, there might not be a dressing room, but it's having really great leaders at the heart of those teams.
Yeah.
And that they become the fulcrum for those teams. They set the culture. They become the cultural architect, I think was a term that we used a couple of times. They are critical if we want to perform at anywhere near an elite level.
Yeah, 100%. And Jamie made this point of Kevin Sinfield. I think we all know it, don't we, from what his activities over the past few years. He was obviously a hugely influential leader, but also modest and humble, hugely respectful. He wasn't necessarily, he knew his way. There was clearly, he knew he had a game plan. There was no doubt about it, according to what Jamie was saying. But he was also hugely respectful of the people around him and understood his strengths and their strengths and just played to them as much as possible. Now, I think for me, I mean, Jamie's, I love Jamie's, again, another two-parter, but I think without doubt, Kay was the best quote master of the season. He had a boatload of cracking quotes and theories to fall on. But my favourite when we asked him how he was at the start was, I think it was something like, if I was any better, I don't think I'd be able to cope. I mean, it's just genius, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is this genius. A happy man.
It really is.
Yeah, he was lovely to have on the show.
He is. I mean, he's happiness, he's energy, he's inspiration personified. He really is. If anybody ever needs just a bit of a shot in the arm, almost like an espresso shot of energy and inspiration, dive into 10 minutes of Jamie Jones Buchanan's episode. And it's like you recharge your batteries on it.
Yeah, you do. I mean, before I muck it up, what's his? And I think his current role is title. It leads now. What's the title? What's the before I muck it up with some horrible word?
I'll probably muck it up as well. It's definitely got the words culture, diversity, and inclusion in there.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure he's the head of.
Yeah, he's definitely head of. I was gonna get that one right. I think I wasn't gonna use those. Those describers, but yes, and you can see why. Obviously, you can see why. Could you pick a better person for the role?
We're talking about how people transfer mindset from their playing days or athletic competitive days. He's transferring knowledge as well.
Yeah,
you know, that knowledge of what made our dressing room great, those fundamental component parts that you need, and not just transferring it into a different rugby league environment, but also they've got netball. The Disability Rugby League as well. So across quite a wide and diverse club.
If you're looking for an example across the season of an individual who really has transferred their knowledge and insight from their sporting career into their second career, there's no better listener than Jamie's, actually. He's phenomenal, and he's applying it all as well successfully. He's got other interests. Yeah. He clearly loves his property, doesn't he? He's got some stuff going on in property. But to do what he's doing now, a continuation of almost where he was from the pitch, it's lovely to see. Lovely to see.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite, I think, lesson probably is Paula. Paula Dunn, GB sprinter. Proper pocket rocket. I remember watching her in the Commonwealth and the like when I was growing up, and I had those summer holidays where I could just sit around the TV and watch the summer games. Loved those times. But Paula, and I love this idea, this concept. It's I think people would listen to it and think it's just too simple. So you oversimplify it, but actually it's so true. Paula referred to the flicking of the switch in your head, just to change your approach, opinion, view on something. And she previously, I think it was she was at training one night, and she was at that point a pretty accomplished regional county sprinter, but decided on this one particular cold Thursday evening training session to attempt to keep up with this person who had probably been that little bit better than her. And she did. And I think that gave her the evidence, the proof that, okay, maybe there's something here that I can do. She just went that extra mile. She dug deeper, found that extra gear to prove to herself that she was capable. And I think it was just that one little moment she had referred to, I just flicked the switch. And the implications from being a county sprinter to being a global sprinter, because she did, she performed on the world stage and won medals, is massive. But just through that one moment where she's decided to make that change.
Yeah. And when I talk to people often about belief, sometimes people wait for the belief to come before they commit. And sometimes people commit first before the belief comes and the belief follows. Mm. Actually, what Paula was demonstrating is that there was a little kind of sandwich effect between a little bit of belief that almost kind of ignited her commitment. And that went on to spiral and become more belief and more commitment and more belief and more commitment. Mm-hmm. And it was that sort of that one little moment, which, again, she created for herself. She decided to go and chase down that athlete that she probably didn't think she could keep up with, but committed to it, then developed the belief, then used that to fuel further commitment. And it launched her into an international career. From being, like you say, a club/county level athlete. Mm. For anybody that's thinking, I wonder what I could achieve.
Yeah.
That understanding, I think, is massive.
Yeah. It seems so simple, doesn't it? And there's a lot more to it. I think you've got to apply it and you've still got to apply that consistency. It's not just about flicking the switch one day and that's it. You know, your dream's going to come true. I think you've got to apply it and be consistent beyond that. So there's a lot of hard work to come. But I think as a starting point, I use that theory all the time. I think you probably told me about it years ago, but I've read it and through various other performance coaches and psychologists over the years. And when you look at the depth around that thinking, there's the detail around it, there's real sense and logic to it as to why it should be something that people, can hold on to. It's a very simple technique that I think all of us can use.
Yes. Absolutely. Danny talked about another version of being able to flick that switch and just thinking differently. He was talking about how, David Batty, I think it was, would be incredibly hard on the field.
Yeah.
And as soon as he walked off it, kind of say, oh, it's only a game. And, you know, when you hear people talking about being able to leave the game on the field, just forget it. It's over. It's gone. It's only a game. It's in the past. Bloody, bloody, blah. Those are easy words to say. But Danny encountered somebody who was living that, however difficult. And he missed a penalty that was, let's use a couple of cliche terms, a crucial penalty in front of the world's media, all that sort of stuff, one that would go down in history. And yet, came off the field and went, didn't try and miss it. I mean, brilliant. This is that kind of switch flicking mindset in action.
What can I do about it now? Yeah, absolutely. He was a proper terrier on the pitch as well, wasn't he, David Batty? And I get the impression of what Danny was saying. He was very, very different, balanced and calm off it. A proper almost Jekyll and Hyde character by the sounds of it. But a great way to deal with a really difficult situation. What can I do about it? It's happened. What can I do? What do you want me to do? Dwell on it for the next 10 years. Brilliant.
The other thing that I found really interesting in both Danny's and Laura's interviews is that they were talking about how their relentless nature, and both of them, quite a few of our guests actually probably fall into this category, they were not naturally talented. They had to work hard for their success. Mm-hmm. They had that relentless focus, but they actually also learned that whilst it helps them to be successful in a career after sport, they don't necessarily want to translate that into all areas of their life.
Yeah.
It might not be the kind of characteristic that you want as a parent or as a spouse or as a partner or whatever. And actually there's a bit of, I think they recognize it made them successful, but I think there's a little bit of that that they didn't necessarily like in themselves mm-hmm. either. They saw it as selfish. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be that person necessarily for the rest of their life either, in all areas of their life. And so it was really interesting to just, I guess, highlight the fact that what does make you successful might not be what you want to dominate your character, you know, as a person.
Yeah, I'm listening there, and there was someone on a well-known LinkedIn celeb, for want of a better word, you know, a lot of followers, and she was making the point this morning that you've got to go in when you go into a room. She's a business person. When you go into a room, you've got to own it. You've got to really hold your head up high. You've got to own that room. You've got to be the person in the room. And I kind of like was thinking, well, do you really? That just screams at me of someone who's arrogant and a bully, and someone who I don't really want to associate with. But obviously, all her minions were commenting down below. So yeah, absolutely, I want to be like that. I want to be that person. For me, the best person is that one who's really confident and capable, but also is humble and modest. They're the best people, not the person who's going to, you know, hold their head up to a point where I am the bee's knees. I'm the best person in this room. That's just, you know, I there was a few conflicting thoughts there, but I think there's it's a characteristic, isn't it? A lot of people that we've had on this season where they've obviously got a huge amount of confidence in their ability, but are also, I think they're the humble people on the whole, quite modest, modest folk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a really useful realization from my point of view. And we were talking with Laura about, you know, how obsessive should you be in chasing down success, quote unquote, the medal, the trophy, the win, etc. When does that become an unhealthy obsession? And whilst the big cliche around lots of personal development, self-improvement, podcasts, TED Talks, bloody, bloody, blah, you know, the cliche around it is you've got to be single-minded, you've got to be ruthless, you've got to be relentlessly focused, etc. Yeah, you kind of do, but surely there's a point where you also have to recognise that there's a line that you may not want to cross.
Yeah,
you know, when does it become too much?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, mate. Look, we're creeping over 20 minutes, and we're making a point now with this one and future podcasts to bring our discussions to make them a bit more compact, a bit punchier. So let's draw us to a close. Any other final thoughts from season three? Any other big highlights that you think we've missed?
No, some really interesting answers to our four questions at the end, also reminds me actually to throw you under the bus. Because I don't think you've given us your favourite. Oh no, the one film that you would watch if you could only watch one other. And I know Tom will give me a high five from a distance if I ask you that question.
Yeah, he will. He will. Look, I mean, I'm a bit of a filmaholic. I love my film. I think if I had to go for one, it's probably going to be Stand By Me. Going right back to the adventure of the four kids on the train track in search of the dead body. Is it Rob Reiner? Rob Reiner, I think, director.
Yeah.
I think probably only because it was the film that initiated my love of film. And, you know, I rewatched it the other day with my daughter. I thought it was time to introduce her. And probably too much. When the dead body came up and she's 10, I'm like, oh, God, is this too much? but it's probably not quite as good as it's not quite as sharp as I remember it, but it still evoked very, very fond memories of childhood and starting a love for film. So, I'm gonna go for Stand By Me.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. What a way to round out series three.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Season four to come, mate. We shall... Let's let you all know when that's happening, what's happening. Got some really interesting guests, actually, from the world of some other diverse sports, MMA for one, and a few others that will hopefully appeal.
You're listening to Podium Podcast with former England rugby player Tom May and leading performance coach Simon Hartley. From locker room gossip to fascinating high-performance insights, this is the show that invites some of the biggest names in the world of sport to discuss life on and off the field of play. Podium Podcast is brought to you by True Potential. To find out more, visit www.tplp.com.